What do you get when you take the lead singer and songwriter of one huge indie rock band and pair him with the founding member of not one, but two Canadian bands? You get indie rock supergroup The Divine Fits. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, I'll talk with Britt Daniel of Spoon and Canadian rocker Dan Beckner of the bands Wolf Parade and Handsome Furs. Their new band, The Divine Fits, is coming to Iowa for the Mission Creek Festival in Iowa City. Later in the hour, I'll talk with Iowa Public Radio superstar Ben Kiefer about his music show Java Blend and special events coming up as we celebrate Public Radio Music Month. Join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. The band The Divine Fits has been billed as an indie rock supergroup. The band was co-founded by Britt Daniel, most famous as the frontman for the band Spoon, and Canadian rocker Dan Beckner of the bands Wolf Parade and Handsome Furs. Last year, they released their first album, A Thing Called Divine Fits.
Stuck up in, we were equally nervous. I could not get through. So, where is a chain that will keep us together? This much is true. Well, my love is real. Until it stops.
That's My Love Is Real off the debut album of The Divine Fits. The band will be performing on Friday night in Iowa City as part of the Mission Creek Festival. And co-founders Britt Daniel and Dan Beckner are here with me now. Hello, gentlemen.
Hey. Hi. What's happening?
I've read that this band really grew out of your friendship. When did you guys first get to know each other?
I think we figured out that it was in the spring of 2007.
Yeah,
we met at a Handsome Furs show, and I just kind of barely knew the band at that point. I had seen a video online that was really creepy and dark and relentless, and so I thought I'd come to the show. Wasn't expecting to meet him, but I saw him milling around. Or maybe you saw me, actually.
I think I saw you.
Yeah.
You know, if we're being honest, there weren't too many people at that show, so it wasn't hard to pick you out.
Right.
The lack of crowd, so to speak.
So what was it that created a friendship out of a brief meeting after a show?
Wow. Dan is just a really easy guy to know. I don't know. we were mutual admirers, and we got along at the, I don't know. I really enjoyed meeting Dan, so we were just, you know, I guess we exchanged from numbers or something, and just kind of stayed in touch whenever we were in the same town.
Yeah. Yeah. We, you know, had drinks together at South by Southwest, and then, Handsome Furs opened up for Spoon at Terminal 5 in New York, which was pretty great. And then, we talk on the phone every now and then, and I'd try and see Britt whenever I was in Portland playing a show, or, you know, we're both kind of traveling back and forth across the country playing in our bands. So, it was always like a treat just to get to hang out in real life, you know, in person.
Well, what was the impetus for that? Because, Britt, obviously you have a band. So how did the idea of starting a band together come about?
Well, Spoon had Dan come up and play a couple songs with us when we played Radio City Music Hall. And I liked looking over there and seeing Dan be totally jazzed to be up there. It was just fun. You know, it was kind of inspiring to have him up there. So I guess that was probably the first time I had any idea about it. And in early 2011, I had just finished, you know, a long year with Spoon, and I just kind of wanted to do something different for a bit.
And
then that's when we talked about it for the first time.
At that point, yeah. Dan, you were kind of at a fork in the road with your bands.
Sort of. It was strange. It was like Wolf Parade had disbanded. You know, we played our last show, I think, in May of 2010. And then I put a record out with Handsome Furs, which was that last record I did with Handsome Furs was kind of exactly what I wanted the band to sound like and what I wanted it to, how I wanted to present it live. So, you know, it was nice to be able to just focus on the Furs for like one album cycle. And then, you know, Britt suggested we start a band together, and I've always liked being in more than one, you know, musical project, and I've always been a fan of Britt's music, and you know, I just jumped at it. Like as much as I liked being able to focus on the Furs for about a year between when Wolf Parade disbanded and we started Divine Fits, I did start missing playing in a rock band with drums, you know, and bouncing ideas off of other people and having two singers, you know, that's just like something I've always really liked to do. So, and I couldn't have think of a, you know, I couldn't have thought of a better person to start that band with. So,
since you've had this experience before of being in two bands that you're writing music for and performing with basically simultaneously, did you have any advice for Britt before he entered the same situation?
Oh, no, I didn't have any advice. I mean, I don't really, you know, I think it's different for everybody working in two bands. It just means you get to write more and you get to work on your craft more, you know. I feel like it can only make you better, you know, as a musician.
But it also seems like, at least, you know, I'm listening to Spoon, listening to the Divine Fits, Britt, you know, these are two bands with different sounds. How do you focus on writing for the Divine Fits or writing for Spoon? When a song idea comes to you, do you think this is a Spoon song, this is a Divine Fits song?
There's not too much of a difference. I mean, usually the biggest difference is so far has been when it's time to write. You know, like once we decided that we were going to do this band, then Dan had about 6 months of touring with Handsome Furs planned. So we said, okay, we'll get together in 6 months. That'll be October or so. So I had, you know, I had a head start where I got to start writing songs for this band. And I knew it was time, you know, it was just a matter of, you know, I knew we were going to need songs, so let's write for this band, you know. It's not like I have so many ideas coming to me and that I'm, I just don't, this isn't going to work with this band. I'm going to have to take it to Spoon. I don't know. It just, you know, it just all works out.
Do you guys write together?
We've done a bit of that, yeah.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Different every time. The first song we worked on was a song that I wrote the music for, and then I was having trouble putting words to it, and so I sent it to Dan. He put some singing on it. And then Would That Not Be Nice is another one that we just kind of, it started as a jam at a practice, and, you know, maybe about a 60-second jam. We don't really just jam. But every now and then some kind of inspiring moment happens where something spontaneous happens, and then I try to tape it, and then I went and rearranged that 60 seconds into a song and sang on top of it.
Well, you mentioned spontaneously turning something into a song. I read in an interview, Dan, that the lyrics or the vocals that you recorded for the song What Gets You Alone, you actually recorded that vocal track in your kitchen.
I did. That was when I was living in Montreal when we really started writing for Divine Fits, late 2011. I moved out to LA, and but when Britt sent me the instrumental track to that song, I don't know. I was just, I had a studio in Montreal. I was just inspired to do it in my kitchen. I like, you know, kind of wandering around the house with my laptop yelling into it. So. So yeah, I recorded the vocals in the kitchen, and I think I, you know, accidentally bypassed the mic that I was singing into and sang into the mic on the laptop, and just put a ton of treble on it because I don't know, it's just my style.
Have you been?
I cleaned it up later. Yeah.
Have you been in a recording studio together for the Divine Fits, or were all of the songs put together in this way, just bits and pieces from?
Oh yeah, we spent a lot
places.
Of time in a studio this time last year.
Yeah, many many months in a studio together. Absolutely.
So what made those vocals happened? From your kitchen so special that you couldn't recreate that in a studio?
I think when you're doing vocals, especially, sometimes there's this, you know, magic or zazz or whatever you want to call it, you know, that happens. You're in a mood, and maybe you've learned how to sing the song, you know, where you don't have to think about it too much, but you still have to try a little bit. It's not just pure muscle memory. And for me, those are generally the best moments, because there's a freshness to it and an emotional content that sometimes gets lost when you're in a studio and just singing it over and over and over again into a microphone and comping picks together, you know? So
yeah, that's something different when you're figuring out, your way and taping that's a totally different feel from when you're trying to recreate some singing you did months ago. And sometimes you just can't beat it. You know?
Yeah. True.
What Gets You Alone by The Divine Fits. I'm talking with the co-founders of the group today, Britt Daniel and Dan Beckner. They'll be performing in Iowa City on Friday night at 8 o'clock at the Blue Moose Tap House as part of the Mission Creek Festival. We'll talk more in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and with me today, The Divine Fits. They've been called an indie rock supergroup. The band was co-founded by Britt Daniel, who is very well known from the band Spoon, and Canadian rocker Dan Beckner of the bands Wolf Parade and Handsome Furs. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about the collaborative process of writing songs together and putting the different pieces together. And Britt, I read in an interview with you that you said that when you lived in Portland, you went through a period where it was really hard for you to write songs because it rained all the time. And that made me wonder, what makes an environment for you that's conducive to writing songs?
I don't know. At that point, I might have just been using it as an excuse. I mean, there's always so many reasons why it's not time to write. And that's the thing you really got to overcome as a writer more than anything. It's, you can get inspired as long as you try to work. But yeah, I guess at that time I was saying, it, you know, in Portland it rains all the time, especially at certain parts of the year, you know, about 9 months of the year. It's going to be gray just maybe 6 days a week. And I was getting a little bummed, you know.
Yeah, man, it's awful.
It happens.
That whole environment.
And so maybe that was my, it was just too good of an excuse. Because I would just, I'd say, I don't want to write a song. I just want to go have a drink. And then you don't end up writing at all.
Do you have a writing routine?
No. I mean, I think it's, if I'm, I think it's good to write first thing in the day. I don't always do that, but I think that's a good routine to shoot for, to before you start anything else, when your mind is still in that sort of amorphous state.
How about you, Dan?
I don't know. I gotta agree with Britt. I mean, like, for me, first thing in the day, you know, after I've had a cup of coffee, that's generally when I feel most inspired to write. You know, I'll that's when I get my best work done. It's either that or really, really, really late at night. So these like pre-post sleep states, I think, where you're, you know, semi-relaxed, but your mind is a little more open. Middle of the day, afternoon, not so great. You know, that's the time for just refining and tweaking things, I think. I used to, like, years and years ago, I used to rely a lot on, like, lack of sleep and booze to write songs. And that worked for a while, but then it becomes kind of, like, counterproductive, you know? So I generally just write with a fresh mind and coffee. Coffee's my best friend for writing.
You both came to this band with separate followings, with fans who obviously have expectations for the work that you can do. Have you found any frustration in trying to feed that need and feed those expectations of your fans?
No.
Yeah.
I think you gotta write for yourself first and foremost, and then you just kind of hope that after it's all done, then you hope that people will like it.
I mean, you can never fully conceptualize your own audience. Your own perception of them is always going to be a little bit faulty, you know, because they're not just one thing. They're like a big multicellular organism that's each got its own, you know, each little piece has its own taste, reasons why they like you. And as soon as you start writing for an imagined audience, this perception of what your audience is, then I think you're screwed, you know, like... You're trying to please people. You're not giving them what they liked in the first place, which was just you, you know?
You mentioned earlier, Britt, having Dan perform on stage with Spoon and how much you enjoyed seeing him on stage and watching him get into the music. And Dan, you've talked about this in other interviews, how frustrated you get with other bands who complain about how it gets to be a grind and complaining about the music industry and all of the problems in the music industry, of which there are many. Yep. How do you maintain that kind of pure joy of performance with all of those distractions?
Well, anytime I get depressed about, if like, you know, say I get off the bus and I'm exhausted and maybe, you know, maybe my back hurts because I've been sleeping in a bunk, or like I miss being at home. Anytime that happens, I just kind of flash back to working in Montreal at a telemarketing office, or working in British Columbia at this place where I was powder coating fences, or working as a line cook. And it doesn't seem that bad to me. I mean, people are, I make a living by people paying to come and hear songs that I've written, you know, so I in a terrible, terrible economy right now. So like, I don't really have much to complain about.
Britt, how do you maintain your energy on stage?
I don't know. I feel like just turning around and looking at these guys helps me. I mean, whenever I look at Sam is the coolest looking drummer in the world, and he's into it 100%. That always peps me up.
Yeah, me too.
You gotta appreciate where you are. You gotta try to, you know,
appreciate the moment. That's the probably the biggest part of it, and just listen to the music.
Dan was just listing off some of the former jobs that he has had, and I read that you once worked for a video game company making sound effects for video games.
Yeah.
And now you're using a lot of synthesizer in these songs for the Divine Fits. Do you bring any of that video game experience into the songs?
I think that it did help me to know how to create, to know how to combine different sounds into a new thing. I mean, that's largely what I was doing, was like making explosion sounds and feet stepping and whatever. It helped me, I guess, a bit to learn how to use Pro Tools maybe 5 or 10 years before anybody else that I knew was using it. Gave me an advantage later on.
What do you learn about your songs? I mean, of course, you're writing them, you're getting them perfected, you record them for the album, but then you're out there performing them. What do you learn about your songs through performance?
I guess you learn what kind of legs they have, you know?
Yeah.
And they always evolve a little bit when you start playing them live. We didn't do any shows until our record was about to come out. And the songs really have changed a lot since then. They're a lot better. I wish,
yeah.
You know, it's a different thing.
Can you give me an example?
Dan, what's a song that's changed?
I don't know. I
start playing
a lot of them
faster.
We started playing them faster. I think a lot of the songs, and this is the only band I've ever been in that's been like this, but I feel like the songs are just constantly going through a process of refinement, you know? Like... on this micro detail level, like the song Like Ice Cream, we're kind of struggling with playing it live at first, and then something just, not that we couldn't play it, but it just didn't have the right vibe, and then something kind of clicked, and and this is a really simple thing, like we extended the ending, four or eight bars, and built it up into this wash of, you know, psychedelic noise that's kind of provided by our keyboard player Alex, and it was just a really good example of everybody working together to make that song that could be live. And I feel like we've done that with pretty much all of the songs on the record.
That's a little bit of Ice Cream by The Divine Fits. I'm talking to the co-founders of the band today, Britt Daniel and Dan Beckner. When you were early in the touring phase with this new album, I read that you were surprised by the kind of audience response you were getting to the song Shivers. What surprised you about it?
Well, I guess just how well it went down. I think people listen to the words more than I thought they would, and the words are great on that tune. My live experience is always, whenever I'm watching bands, I don't really focus on the words so much. I'm kind of feeling the overall presentation of the sound. I don't know, but there were a few songs like that where every time we would, every time where I would sing that one line in Baby Get Worse, because mostly Dan singing the song, and then I would sing a song. I would sing one line, and people would go nuts. And it's just funny how that happens over many different audiences in many different cities. When those little things happen, you know that there's something, I don't know, there's something...
Something's working there. You know?
Yeah, something's like working, maybe. And it's just cool when it's something you never would have expected. And Shivers ended up, from the beginning, it was a song that people really, really took to.
such a stacked board instead.
That's Shivers by The Divine Fit. I'm talking with the co-founders of the band today, Britt Daniel and Dan Beckner. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It must be a different experience when an album is new and you're playing a lot of dates that to crowds that don't necessarily really know the music yet. And then, of course, a couple of years down the line, even a few months down the line, you're playing to audiences that know every word of every track. How is that different when you're introducing music to an audience?
Well, I'm aware of it. You know, I'm aware that people don't know the tunes. But I thought it was kind of exciting because it had been a long time since I'd been in a band where I was playing songs that no one had heard, you know. It's not probably the ideal way that you want to always do a show, but for that month or 6 weeks that we were touring before the record came out, that was unique and it was pretty fun.
That was also the first time I really noticed it with the crowd video, you know. So the way people will, you know, our record wasn't out and people would film the shows, and then, you know, we'd do a show, did two shows in Austin, and then a couple of shows later when we were in Chicago, 3 days later, I looked down and people were, you know, singing along what they thought words were to songs that, you know, were not available anywhere else than YouTube from somebody's phone, you know. So
that was
really cool. I really liked that. You know, that meant people were interested enough and connected with the songs enough in like the crappiest format possible to you know, get into them and get up front and sing along.
With only one album to draw from in your live shows, do you find that you're often introducing new songs? And I've also read that you've been playing quite a few covers.
Yeah, we have to, you know, in order to not rip people off, because I think the record is, what, 36 minutes?
6 minutes long?
Yeah. So, yeah, we've learned a number of covers, and then we just recorded a single in the last few weeks that hasn't come out yet, so we've been playing those songs. I like playing covers, personally.
What covers have you guys been playing? What do you like to play?
We've been doing this Tom Petty song, You Got Lucky, and a cover by this great American punk band called The Wipers, a cover called Doomtown. What else do we do?
A Rolling Stones song, Sway, and then we did a Frank Ocean song for a while. We haven't done that in a bit. But
what makes that fun?
Well, because you get to pick a great song, you know?
Yeah.
There are so many amazing songs out there, and you're getting a shortcut to being able to play an amazing song on stage, you know?
Without actually writing it.
Yeah.
Well, and audience response to that must be different and fun, too.
Yeah, usually, very often you're picking a song that people know, and lots of times they'll be surprised to hear it. You know, it's just a fun thing all around.
It's a treat, you know, for you and for the audience. I think.
So, Britt, I know a lot of Spoon fans are probably anxiously awaiting another Spoon album. What's your next priority? What are you focusing on now?
Well, I'm doing a lot of shows with Divine Fits this year, and I've started getting together with the Spoon guys we got together last month to start working on new songs, and we're going to get together again this month, or in April. Yeah. So it's coming along. It's gonna be a while, but we're starting.
Dan, what's your focus?
Well, you know, like we're playing a lot of shows with Divine Fits, and I think, you know, we'll probably continue writing stuff for Divine Fits as this year goes on. But I'm working on a new project right now that's a little more electronic, and just writing for that and putting the band together and stuff. And it's been really fun. So, yeah, I like to keep busy. It's nice.
Well, thank you both for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice talking to you.
Nice by The Divine Fits. I've been talking today with Dan Bechner and Britt Daniel, the founders of the band. The Divine Fits will be performing at the Blue Moose Tap House in Iowa City as part of the Mission Creek Festival. Doors open at 8 o'clock. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Now we go from indie rock supergroup to public radio superstardom. Ben Kiefer is here with me now. You know him, of course, as the host of River to River, weekdays at noon on Iowa Public Radio. He's also the host of Java Blend, heard Saturdays at 2 on Iowa Public Radio Studio 1 stations. It's an hour-long show recorded each week in front of a live audience at the downtown Java House in Iowa City and from various other venues around the state. April is Public Radio Music Month, and Java Blend has some special events planned to celebrate, so we thought we'd ask Ben to walk all the way in here from his desk and join us. Hello,
hey,
Ben.
Hey, Charity. This is a very strange feeling over here to be a guest on your show, but let's march forward, because this is really interesting to talk about Public Radio Music Month and Java Blend, for those who don't know about
it yet. Well, and let's go back in time, because the show has been around for quite a while. It started in 2001.
Right, and it has an unfortunate sort of timing when it started. I remember it well, because it was 4 weeks before 9/11 in 2001 that the show started. We had the first shows. Actually, it was a live show at 10 o'clock on Friday mornings, which musicians loved. But it was a hybrid show, too. So it was not an hour of music as it is now. It was, I took the talk show out of the studio and then invited a band to be there. So we would typically have a band play three numbers, but interspersed with chat. And I would line up some topic, and it would be kind of fun to go from talk to music and back to, and then that went on for 4 or 5 years, and then we made it a purely music show about 5 years into its life, I guess that would be.
What was the genesis of the idea? What made you want to do this show?
Well, as you know, Charity, I lived, you know, throughout the entire 90s in Europe, and so I became sort of unacquainted with my own homeland, Iowa. I grew up right here. And I came back, and one of the things that really occurred to me was how much talent there was here in Iowa City. So after doing, this is literally how it happened, after doing a talk show here in 2001, early 2001, I walked out of the studio and went downtown to Iowa City's downtown and had a cup of coffee. And literally at the Java House, where the show takes place now, I walked to the back room and literally stumbled over a stage, an unused stage. And I looked up at the ceiling, and there was track lighting. Said somebody had the intent here to have performances. And then the proverbial light bulb went on, and I went right back and shared this with the people who were working at the station then, before the formation of Iowa Public Radio. And Tara Kronbaugh of the Java House generously donated that space, and she said, sure, have your show here.
In those early days, we'll talk about some of the challenges of having a live or recorded live music show now at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But getting bands there at 10 a.m., how did that go?
That was a dicey situation. Jim Davies, our engineer here, who started off the show with me, can tell you that we sweat a lot. And there were big rock bands we would have come in, and we would be counting down. Everybody charging ahead, plugging in cords and so forth. And one band we didn't have plugged in until 30 seconds, literally before the time it started. And of course, not much time for a sound check. So, you know, live radio is what it is. We would have bands literally fly in at the last minute. And musicians, let me tell you, sorry to offend any musicians out there, you're not the most punctual people in the world. Some of you are, but many of you are not.
Well, the interview that I just aired with the Divine Fitz,
yes,
that was pre-recorded on Friday, and it was scheduled to, they were both in Pacific time, so it was scheduled to start at noon Pacific time, but one of them got up late, so we had to delay it a little.
Right.
So you schedule something that early in the morning.
When it was 10 o'clock on Friday, see, I get up early, 10 o'clock, the comment I would hear, you know, I'd say, the show would be done after an hour, and I'd say, how did you do? How did you feel up there, whatever band it was? And they'd say, I'll tell you when I wake up.
Well, let's talk about some of the upcoming events, because you have a remote show this week. We've talked about the fact that you're recording most of these shows at the Java Blend in Iowa City, but you're going on the road this week.
Yeah, it's at the Java House in Iowa City is most of the time where the shows are. But we're going to be on Wednesday night, we're going to be at El Bait Shop in Des Moines, a wonderful venue. And we're looking forward to our first remote show there. And it will be Brother Trucker will be the band. Des Moines, Central Iowa-based band, and I think you have a little bit of their music to share.
All right, here's Little Brother Trucker. Oh, nope, we don't have a Little Brother Trucker right now. We will.
Okay.
In a little while.
They're a great band. We'll hear them up in just a moment, but they'll be Wednesday evening in Des Moines.
Oh, now we do. Here's
okay,
Brother Trucker.
Here we go. Brother Trucker downtown, and they're going to be on Java Blend. They're going to record. You're going to record the show right.
And this Wednesday, is where, mm-hmm. And then when will it air?
It's good that you mentioned that, because since we separated the live from the broadcast, this will air. I don't have the date for that. Actually, it'll air sometime in the summer when we have a little hiatus for the events. So date to be announced on that one. Friday, we have, you mentioned the Mission Creek Festival. We have a Snowblink band from Canada that will be on the regular Java House show that is, of course, called Java Blend, but at the location of the Java House in Iowa City, the regular time, 2 p.m. On Friday.
All right. And how do you select the artists who are going to be on the show, Ben?
Well, you know, when this started, I thought, well, what genres do you have? And I thought, it's a cafe music show. So actually the slogan is anything that you can imagine hearing in a cafe. That can mean singer-songwriter. We have quite a bit of singer-songwriter, sometimes toward the folky end of that, sort of sometimes more poppy and indie sounding. But we also have R&B. We have, for instance, the Diplomats of Solid Sound. I know you've had on your show before. And the Diplomats, they are a great sort of Motown sound. We've had hip-hop, rap, rock and roll. So the whole spectrum, I don't like to discriminate against anybody. I suppose we're not going to have too many heavy metal bands, Charity. I don't think so. But you may wear a nose ring if you play on the show. I don't care.
Right. Do you try to focus on Iowa artists?
Yeah. We have, I would say, about half the artists. And over the years, I think we've had between 300 or 400 different bands and artists on the show. I would say at least half of those have been Iowa bands or bands with Iowa connections. Now, there are people who grew up like in the little town of Sheffield, Iowa. Dick Prawl, who has now been in Chicago for a long time, making a big name for himself in music, just a wonderful singer-songwriter. So about half of them are Iowa bands or bands with Iowa connections. The others are bands traveling through Iowa or from neighboring states. Caroline Smith and the Goodnight Sleeps from Minneapolis, for instance, would be an example of that. But we get them from across the United States or Even we've had an Australian artists on as well, too.
All right. Well, let's preview another Iowa group that is coming up in the month of April. Tell me a little bit about Tallgrass.
Tallgrass, I have to look into them a little bit more, but they're a local band in Iowa City, Americana, kind of folk sound, and they were recommended to me by a listener. And this is a good way that I get tips, just like we get tips for topics for talk shows. I get wonderful tips from listeners about the type of music. So just have a listen.
All right. Listening to a little bit of Tallgrass. And when is Tallgrass coming up on the show?
Tallgrass is Friday, April 12th, one of our regular Friday afternoon shows, 2 p.m. Friday, April 12th. We're looking forward to having Tallgrass on for the very first time.
And that's when the performance is. That's when you can come to the Java House and you can see the show and hear the music. But
right. Just walk right in. There's no tickets necessary, anything like that. Yeah. I do have a broadcast date for you on that one.
All right.
May 4th is that. I've got all my regular shows.
It must be hard to keep all of that straight.
It is. It's a little bit.
Because, of course, you want an audience for the live show, but you also want to tell people when it's on the air.
Exactly. May 4th is the date for that broadcast of Tallgrass.
And another Iowa group that you just had a performance from, and they'll be on the air on the 20th of April, is the River Monks. And, of course, we're all familiar with the River Monks because they wrote the theme song of Talk of Iowa and the theme song of River to River.
You know, Charity, I asked them about this when we had this performance last Friday, and I said, you know, let's talk about this because you're used to composing all kinds of interesting music, and we asked you, we commissioned you, and you donated two great theme songs to our talk shows. I said, there's my show, River to River, and I said, well, there's Charity's show, Talk of Iowa. I didn't downplay it that much. But I said, how did this come to be when you're given a task to sound like a certain type of show? And, they talked all about your theme music and not at all about my theme music, Charity. But I wasn't hurt. I didn't take offense. You'll never be invited back.
Right.
Never again, River Monks.
You're off the list now. But
Here's a little exchange, actually, that if we could listen to it, you will learn, Charity Nebbe, and all your listeners, who is whistling in your theme music?
I think everyone assumes it's me, right? No,
it's not.
Let's find out.
But we were kind of lucky because IPR just kind of enjoyed our whistly, you know, fun attitude. And they're like, yeah, just do that. And so
that's what people most comment on about the Talk of Iowa theme, the whistling. That,
right.
That is. And you're not afraid to throw in whistles and you have a lot of other sounds here. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it was really fun to orchestrate that and just try to create something fun. And hey, here's something about Iowa. You know, that's right. What it just felt like Iowa, I guess.
Have you heard any feedback? Do you get comments? Because we do
all the time.
Any comments worth mentioning?
Well, at a lot of shows sometimes. Around Iowa, they'll come up and be like, hey, are you guys going to play any songs that have any whistling in it? So the whistling is a huge, huge part of those songs, I guess.
Whose whistling is that? Is that a band member? Don't tell me it's a synthesized whistle. I don't want to know if
those
it is.
Those are real live whistles. I think I did, Nick did, and we had a random friend named Ben Northrup who actually plays saxophone on Jovial's. He was just there that day. And
a good whistle.
Just whistled as well.
Very good.
I'm glad he's finally getting the proper recognition for that.
So little.
I'll have to throw that into the credits now.
Ben Northrup, the Whistler, that was the voices of Ryan Steer and Drew Rao of the River Monks. So there you have it now.
All right.
The rest of the story, but that's a different show.
So as you look at Java Blend now and what it has evolved into after 12 years on the air, I'm sure a lot of people probably consider the show and you to be kind of a major player in the Iowa music scene. You don't really see yourself that way.
No, I don't see. People mistakenly think I know a lot about the history of Iowa music and the Iowa scene. I pick these artists, and a lot of people come to me in the meantime, bands and artists. If I listen to the music, I'm not a musician. I come from a fan's perspective, and I just say, I like that, and I can picture that on the show, and I think it's a good thing to share with our audience because there's so much talent in this state that is just not known about, and maybe it helps you get away from your TV screen in the evening and prompts you out the door to a local venue where you can go see some live music made by Midwestern or Iowa musicians. So that's sort of the mission of the show.
As you move forward, you're always looking for ideas about bands. I know that you get pretty excited when you discover a band that you hadn't heard of before. How do you get all of these ideas for bands? I mean, I'm sure that a lot of them reach out to you, but you're always searching.
Yeah, I'm searching around for other bands and kind of watching also not only the Iowa scene, but also the scene in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Chicago, St. Louis, for new bands that come up. And it's incredible how much talent is there. I wouldn't, there's so much talent out there. There's a lot of luck about making it big and making it into a career because talent is unfortunately not the only thing going out there. But I do keep my ears wide open.
All right. And if people have suggestions, you
want to
hear from them?
Absolutely. You can email me at our website, iowapublicradio.org, or my email, bkiefer@iowapublicradio.org. I love to hear suggestions. Bands that I haven't heard that are from the area.
And you talked about how you pull from a lot of different genres. Recently, I've heard that you hosted your loudest show at the Java House.
It was.
Tell me about that.
This was I think we have a little tape of this. This is a band.
Yeah, we'll go out with it. We're almost out of time.
Yeah, okay, good. Hero Jr. from Indianapolis, a great rock band, by the way. But you would not believe when you hear this recording that's coming from a little cafe where there may be 30 or 40 people enjoying. This was a music charity you could feel throbbing, and the furniture was literally moving the furniture. And I was a little embarrassed because I walked up to a man who looked to be in his 60s or something because it was loud. And we had told the band, it's a cafe. We got to keep it a little bit quieter than usual. And I said, I'm sorry it's so loud. And he said, are you kidding? I was a young man here in Iowa City in the 60s and 70s. And I didn't know kids could still rock.
All right. We'll go out with Hero Jr. Ben Kiefer. Thank you so much for being here today.
All right. Thank you, Charity.
Ben Kiefer, the host of Java Blend, heard Saturdays at 2 on Iowa Public Radio.
See the paint peeling on an old street light in my hometown where I did my time. Where I fastened my lock and key. Everybody doing all right out there? Seen the what could have been, what should have been. Well, it doesn't really matter if you have to pretend. Makes you think about where you're gonna be. I had a one-way ticket on a haunted train. A novelty phone, loser phone down the train. Yeah, bagging lost, not spade, passing the pen around. Yeah, yeah, yeah.